So if you look at it sometimes, it seems to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But when you understand reincarnation, it continues, right?
Again and again.
So it doesn't have any end.
And never stops.
And so did it have any beginning? Because where were you before you were born?
Never stops, never ends.
You were in another body. Just like in my last life, I was in India. And many lives ago, I was one of the... Let's say I was associated with Lord Ramchandra in a certain way. I won't say what I was, but I was swinging from the trees.
Or was you a cat?
I don't know if I was a cat, but I think I was swinging from the trees helping Lord Ramchandra.
Oh, swinging from the trees.
Monkeys.
Yeah. Monkeys. Not the type that steal your glasses in Vrindavan. Or that bite you. I didn't bite anybody. So in other words, like, it never began. Ourselves never began. And we never end, right? So time is like that too. Or let me give you another example. What time of the year is it right now? Winter. So winter's very cold, right? What happens after winter?
Spring.
Spring. What happens after spring?
Summer.
Summer. What happens after summer?
Fall.
What happens after fall?
Winter.
So when do the seasons begin?
Never.
Never, because I just keep repeating, right? It's interesting, isn't it? They just keep repeating over and over and over again. Yeah, and
months
are just like time, because the months keep repeating too. So even when the whole material world becomes finished, it's not destroyed completely. Do you ever have clay when you were young?
Yeah.
Play-Doh?
Yeah.
You know what Play-Doh is?
Yeah.
So when you're playing with Play-Doh and you make a little thing with Play-Doh, what do you do when you're finished playing? You put it away inside the little box or inside the tube or something like that. And then next day you take it out again. So the Play-Doh never has an end or a beginning. It's just sometimes it has a certain shape and then the shape changes, right? Because when you put it in the tube, it's just like squished up, right? And when you take it out, it becomes something nice. Well, maybe not nice. You can make cups out of it. You can make all sorts of things. So this world is like that. That it's always there, but sometimes, you know, Krishna takes it out of its little tube. Krishna is called Mahavishnu in that case. And then he makes it all sorts of nice designs, like the bodies that we have and the houses. And then sometimes, finished. But it's always there. So time is like that too. It's always there.
You know, Arjuna, you know that verse, Najayate Niyate? It's saying the same thing. You know what the English is? It's saying the same thing. Never has been, never will be, right? Is that the same?
That's verse... But the Jayate Mrita, yeah, the soul, there's never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. But that you're thinking not to wait for Om Gaja Nasha.
Into being, does not come into being, will not come into being?
That you're thinking, I just started to quote that verse. Nato evaham jatunasham natvam neme janati paha vachayvanabha vishama sarivayam etapuram. You're thinking of that verse. But the Jayate Mrite, Jayate, not birth, not death.
Okay.
For the soul, there is never birth, never death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He's unborn, primeval, and he's not slain when the body is slain. That's a nice question. Wow, what a good question.
Do we have another question? Giri had a really nice question.
Okay.
Have you ever had a dream of Krishna?
Yes. many dreams of Krishna. And sometimes dreams of the Yamadutas too. Do you ever dream of the Yamadutas? Anyone here?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they look like?
Yeah.
Wow, it's good you don't know what they look like.
What's the Yamadutas?
Well, the Yamadutas are, let's see, when someone dies, there's two ways that people in this world leave their bodies. Spiritualists leave their bodies in a different way. But the Yamadutas are like the guys who tell you and about your past activities that were not so desirable in this world, and they sort of inflict a little punishment. I guess it might be considered in the Western theology to be like devils or something like that, but in Krishna consciousness, we don't actually believe in the devil. Nor did Jesus Christ ever talk about the devil. That's a modern invention that occurred about 200 years, about 150 years after Jesus Christ left this world. About devils. What was I just reading? Oh yeah, I was reading an interesting novel by C.S. Lewis. Anyone here ever read anything by C.S. Lewis? It's called The Screwtape Letters. You read that?
I have.
Very interesting. And what it is, of course it'll go way above the kids' heads. It's like an older devil writing to a younger devil. How to keep people in Maya.
Wow.
And it's really, it relates very much with Krishna consciousness, you know, what are the, let's say the anartas, or what causes people to fall away from spiritual life. I highly recommend that book. It's nice, isn't it? C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters. It's like his uncle, this guy's uncle, this little devil, and he's trying to convince people to be his subject, to be in Maya. And then the big devil, the older devil, his uncle, is saying, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. You have to correct yourself. Quite an interesting book. Anyway, so let's take other questions from the kids.
How did you join?
How did I join? That's very interesting. When I was very young, about your age, I'm very young, about 6 or 7 or 8. I was looking for some purpose in life. I wasn't satisfied just to live for the sake of living. In my family, we had everything. We're a very rich family. We had our own airplanes, you know, real airplanes, not just toy airplanes. So airplanes that I could actually drive and fly, and boats. And of course, I had a sports car. Not when I was 8 years old, of course. But from about 8, I always was asking my parents the question, what is life all about? Who is God? Where do we go at the time of death? And they couldn't answer. It was really very sad. So then I kept looking and looking, and I went to university, and I started studying science. Since I thought science can answer the question, I became like an engineer, in the choo-choo train. Engineer, do they know what that is?
Yeah.
But this engineer means like a scientist. And so then I was disappointed. I left the university. Then I started studying religious books, and I was still disappointed. But then I came across the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita answered all the questions I had in a very scientific way. Like, who am I? Where am I going at the time of death? Who is Krishna? Who is God? And I started chanting Hare Krishna. And that was in 1969. Anyone here was born before then? Oh, really?
1968.
68. Or you're 1 year old.
65.
Okay, you were 4.
Yeah.
You're just like this small. I remember you. So, not really. So, I started chanting, but I did, and I followed the 4 regular principles, but I didn't want to join the Hare Krishna movement. Does anyone know why I didn't want to join? Can you guess why?
Did you not want to wear sheets?
That's right. I didn't want to wear bed sheets.
I got it from your class.
Oh, you heard my class already. That's nice. That's good. He listens to classes. So I didn't want to wear these bed sheets because in America, sometimes people see the dhoti and they think, they see a man wearing a dhoti, what do they think he's doing? He's wearing a dress. And then they start to make fun of you. Oh, you're wearing a dress. And so I didn't want my friends to make fun of me because I didn't want to wear a dress or a bedsheet. So then, also there was another thing I didn't like. What else didn't I like? Did you remember? What?
You don't
want to
wake up early?
I didn't want to... He really listens nicely.
Or maybe that part.
Something about your beautiful hair and not wanting to.
That's another one, yeah. I had such long hair. Has anyone here ever seen Satya Sai Baba? A picture of Satya Sai Baba? No. No, they haven't seen him. I had hair as long as Gopi Gita had. But my hair went out. It didn't go down. It went out like that. Not that far, of course. That would have been...
Like an afro?
Something like that. Yeah, my hair was very curly. So it was out like that. And then also I had beard and everything like that. So I didn't want to wake up early because I thought that if anyone wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's like torture. And then also, I'd like to go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. And wake up at 11 o'clock in the morning. So that was my life. You know, because I was in the university. That's the way people lived. They probably still live like that now, too. So, I said, I'm not joining that movement. Plus, I thought that these devotees, they're so weird. They just walk around in bed sheets. And they cry all the time. And I couldn't understand deities either. That was another problem I had. Because in the West, people don't understand deities. You know, someone walks into a temple and they see the deities. They go, what's that? In fact, the first time my mother walked in the temple, do you know the story? What did my mother say? She said, you should put your father on the altar instead of that person.
Oh, wow.
So I said, I'm not joining that movement. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm happy. I'm vegetarian. I don't want anything to do with those sentimental, bald people. Nothing. And so, and of course, I was listening to the music. I was listening to George Harrison's song. Does anyone know that song?
You guys all know it. You sing it.
My Sweet Lord. And I was listening to Prabhupada also had an album out. It was something like the Happening album or something like that. And I listened to that on the radio. And also, oh yes, yeah, one other thing I didn't like the thing that the devotees did. Do you know? What?
Gave up all of your stuff?
No. I was thinking about that, but there was one. No, chanting I was already doing.
Oh yeah.
That they were asking for money. Because one time a devotee stopped me on the street, it was at the university, and gave me a sweet ball. And I said, oh, very nice, give me a sweet ball. And then she just made sure I gave money. She just kept bothering me. I have to give money, I have to give money. And I gave one quarter, which at that time was a lot of money, at least to me. So I didn't like it. So I thought, I have nothing to do with those Hare Krishnas. I like the philosophy. Okay, so I went on with life. And then whenever I saw Hare Krishna, I just drove the other direction. Took my sports car and whenever I saw one of those Hare Krishnas. One time I went into the temple just to hear a class, and the person giving class, his name was Amarendra. Some of you may know him. He was yelling and screaming at us as he was giving class. He told us we're all going to go to hell. And that we're going to be born at the end of Kali Yuga and be as short as this. And we're going to be living in caves and eating other people unless we joined immediately. So I ran out of the temple. I said, no more. No more Krishna consciousness. So I was living very happy on a farm with some friends near Gainesville, Florida. Have any of you been to Gainesville or Alachua? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. So I was living with some friends. This was 1971. Then I heard the news that guess who was coming to town? Prabhupada was coming to town. And I thought, uh-oh. Now is the moment of truth. So somehow or other, Krishna inspired me. I didn't know what I was doing. But I walked in the temple, and I said to the temple president, the temple president at that time was a devotee named Sridhananda Maharaj, but he was married at that time. So it's Sridhananda Das Adhikari. And anyway, so he went in, so I walked in and said, I'd like to join and see Prabhupada. And he said, all right, but you have to cut that stuff off of your head and the stuff off of your face. And I was, I don't know, somehow Prabhupada's influence, even a week before he came, convinced me to shave all the hair off, all my beautiful hair. Such nice curls, a nice beard and everything like that. And then I shaved it off. And then Prabhupada came a week later. As soon as I saw Prabhupada, I realized and recognized he was my eternal spiritual master. And that was it. I haven't left since then. I said, uh-oh, now I have to serve Prabhupada. And that was in 1971, I think it was June, if I remember correctly, when Prabhupada came to Gainesville, Florida. So that's how I came to Krishna consciousness. Then, after that, I stayed in Gainesville, and then also I was the second teacher in Gurukula here in Dallas, Texas. And that was in a place called Turtle Creek. There was a temple here at Turtle Creek. Maybe some of you know about that. And so I was taking care of five children just by myself, and I was only 21 years old, and I had no training in any sort of educational thing, and I was a brahmachari, and I was taking care of five boys for 24 hours a day. And at that time, the Gurukulas were different than they are now. Now you go home, you see your mommy and everything at night. In those days, the parents, it was a terrible situation, the parents would drop the children off at the Gurukula, and then they'd drive away. So I had five little boys, about 5, 6 years old, and the parents had just dropped them off and said, here, take care of my children, you know. And they were all crying. What were they saying when they were crying?
What?
I want my mommy. Mommy, mommy. And so I preached to them. I said, your real mommy is Radharani.
Oh my gosh.
And then, of course, they understood that very well. And they said, yes, sir. No, they didn't. They definitely... So I had like five crying boys, and we would wake them up all at 4 o'clock in the morning. We only had one bathroom in the whole temple for about 35 people, men and women. And we had to get all five boys dressed and showered within a half a minute, because everybody else had to use the same bathroom in the morning. And so the children were very tired. Some of them would even fall asleep while they were eating prasadam. It was very tough in those days. The children, they'd be eating and going, and because they kept me awake all the time, I would fall asleep while I was teaching them. So I would be teaching them mathematics or English. I just go to sleep. And they come up and start shaking me. Teacher, teacher, wake up. Wake up, teacher. So it was fun. So they had a good time. I spoke to many of them later on. You know, because they're all grown up, because that was in 1972. And now they're, you know, they're very old. And they said that I was their best teacher, because they could get away with anything. Because we had fun. We had a lot of fun then. So then I lived in Dallas for some time. And then also when Prabhupada came twice to Dallas, that I would arrange for Prabhupada's reception. Maybe you've seen, some of you have seen that movie where Prabhupada was received in the airport. So I made that whole arrangement in the VIP room in the airport. So I made that whole arrangement for Prabhupada. And then, this is the final story. And then we served Prabhupada a big plate of prasadam, mostly fruit. And then Prabhupada just took a little bit, and then I took the plate and hid it so nobody else could find it. And I told the devotees, you go back to the temple, I'll clean up here. So everybody went back to the temple, and Prabhupada just went to his room to rest. And I took this whole big plate and ate all the orange peels, and all the stems of the grapes, and all the pits. And I would have eaten the plate too. But it was made of was steel, so I couldn't eat it.
Did it taste good?
Yeah, the peels. Everything Prabhupada's remnants tasted ecstatic. So I would always, whenever I was with Prabhupada, I always tried to steal the remnants from Prabhupada. Even when I walked on the beach with Prabhupada, he had, you know, the footprints in the sand. I would take the sand from his footprints and eat it. I was fanatic. There's delicious sand. The sand? Well, he was walking. He just looked forward. He didn't really stand. but I certainly did that. And that, actually, Los Angeles, we did that. So any other questions? So we had a lot of fun. So that was many years ago, 1971, joining the movement, and now, 2011. How many years is that? Well, I was asking the kids that. I mean, I know. 40 years. So I've had a lot of fun serving Krishna all these years, and I joined at a very young age, 20 years of age. Of course, at that time, things were different. You could become a sannyasi very early. So there was a lot of what we call upward mobility. Now it's not so much like that. But when I joined, we were all young. It was just like summer camp. Because everybody was 20 years old. Now you come in the temple, you got all these old people, right? It's not so nice. Isn't it? Because then we were all like 20, we had a good time, we went on Sankirtan, we had nice kirtans, everything. So I think it's important that if we want to attract young people, to have young people, at least a lot of young people they associate with. Because young people generally don't like to hang out with very old people. Isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't want to be the whole day with old people, would you? They're not saying anything. Well, they're afraid that, you know, who's listening. No, yeah, you're fun with people your own age. I mean, that's a practical thing. So, any other questions? Oh, Sucharya?
Yes. I had a question. One of the children asked if you had ever dreamed of Krishna.
Yeah.
And you said yes. So I'd like to ask, is that a symptom of someone who's engaged 24 hours a day that you're actually serving Krishna and that you think of him in your dreams and that's what it means?
Not necessarily. Many people dream of Krishna who are not even following the sadhana or process of bhakti. It just indicates that Krishna is coming to tell you something. But Krishna does appear in people's dreams. Prabhupada does. I've had dreams of Prabhupada, just like massaging his feet and serving Prabhupada.
You had a dream of Lord Shiva once, I remember, a long time ago.
Yeah. Everybody knows who Lord Shiva is? I told you that story. That's about my diet.
Oh.
That was a diet story. Wasn't there another story about Lord Shiva?
You said that he came to you in a dream and told you that you have to teach Balaram how to play Mridanga. This was years ago.
I don't remember that dream.
You said that in class.
Oh,
that is. I think Balaram was like a year old.
So Balaram is actually an expert in drum playing now. Yeah. That's very nice. So anyone else have questions?
Any questions, guys?
Do we need our little cheat sheet?
More on the sheet.
On the sheet.
There is something on the sheet. What is that one about the universe of Krishna? Do you about the universes? They had a couple questions about alternate universes.
Is it possible to take birth in another universe as a devotee?
Mm-hmm. Well, in every universe, there is one planet where Krishna appears and enacts his pastimes. In this universe, it's the Earth planet. But in other universes, it might be other planets. I don't know the names of the planets in other universes. But it's possible there are devotees in every universe, yeah. It is possible. There's billions and billions of universes, just like there are what? In a bag of what? In a bag of candy. That's good.
Remember, Govardhan was cursed to shrink
mustard
down the size
seeds.
Of a mustard seed.
Mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? little tiny seed. So if you have a bag of mustard seeds and each seed is like a universe, that's how many universes there are. And each and every universe, Krishna appears. And there's a Vrindavan in every universe. Mm. Pretty good, isn't it? And there's a Mayapur in every universe. And there is, what else? There's a hell in every...
Would you be able to remember, some people remember their past lives? If I was in that universe in my past life, and then I came to this universe in this life, and I somehow remembered it?
That's a good question. So, let me ask you a question. Why do we forget our past lives? What does Krishna say in the Gita? Does anyone remember? Any of the adults remember? Because we change our bodies.
Yeah, birth is a painful process.
We change our bodies, but there's something called the subtle body, which has all the memories from your past lives. And Prabhupada says sometimes you dream of gold, and sometimes you dream of a gold mountain. It's because you put two things together in a dream from past lives. You've seen a mountain, you've seen gold, and so you dream of a gold mountain. Or sometimes you dream that you're a bird flying in the sky. Why? Anyone here have a bird dream? Yeah. That's very common. You dream you're a bird, because in a past life, you were a bird. Pretty good, isn't it? And so, your question is, can we remember? Sometimes we may remember. And sometimes people use astrology. If someone was very expert in astrology, they could tell you who you were in your last life. And they did that with Lord Chaitanya. What did they say Lord Chaitanya was in his past life? Yeah.
Incarnation of Krishna.
Coward boy. Coward boy.
So he didn't come out and say that he was Krishna.
No, he said, "Oh, I'm Krishna."
Yeah.
No, I think he disagreed with the analysis. He had some sort of analysis, and they said about Prabhupada that Prabhupada was a pious physician in his past life. That's what Prabhupada said about himself, at least that the astrologer said about him. So you can tell who you were in your past lives, and many of the young children, especially when they're five or a little younger, they'll have spontaneous remembrances of past lives. Do any of you remember past lives? Get a little old for that.
So
many times the children will have spontaneous. There are many stories in India about people, little children who remembered who their husband was in the past life and where their family was and where they hid the gold. So they went back to a different village and these little children said, "Oh, that was my husband, this was my son," and then they dug in the ground, they found the gold. You've heard about that before?
Yeah. Raghava Prabhu turned into that Mataji.
Yeah, oh yeah, that story too.
When I was a kid, I really remembered a lot about who I was in my past.
Really, who were you? What?
I knew that I was a man and I had all these ideas. I mean, I don't know, they're probably speculation, but when I was really young, I
remembered. You remembered, yeah. Yeah.
What happens when you have deja vu, it's something looks familiar?
That's an indication you were there in the past life or you knew the person in the past life. Did anyone here have the experience you meet someone for the first time and it's just like, "I know you"? That means you knew them from the past life. I knew there were, I'll tell you one funny story, because I've worked with people with past life memories before. There was a man and a woman, they were always fighting with each other. And really, they were married. And they were fighting. You ever seen married couples fight? No, I won't answer that question. But, so they were always fighting. So they came and said, why are we always fighting? We want to find out. It must be the past life. So they went through this hypnotism regression. It's called hypnotic regression. Anyone heard of hypnotism before? Mm-hmm. That's where they say, you're feeling sleepy, your eyes are closing, like that.
I watched a video once.
You watch a video about the same thing?
It's self-hypnotism.
Oh, self-hypnotism, yeah. It's quite common. And then so they did that with this couple, the man and wife. And guess what they discovered? In their last life, they were in England. And they were both knights. You know what a knight is? A knight is one of the people who rides on horses. And they have these big, big, long poles called lances. And what do? They rush at each other and they try to knock the other person off the horse. So this man and this wife, in the past life, they were both men. And one was on the horse and the other one was on the horse. And they were rushing each other. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And what happened? What happened is one of them knocked the other one off the horse, and he took the lance and went, ah, right in the heart. And so, because they were both thinking of each other so much, as Krishna says in the Gita, what does he say? Whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, what happens? You'll become that situation. Yeah, yum yum bhavi smaram bhava. Kulevaram. Tam tam. Zadata bhava bhavata. So they were thinking of each other so much that they got married in the next life. And so they were married because.
They're
enemies. Because when you hate someone, you really think about them a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Do you ever hate anybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think of them more than when you love them. You just think, oh, I hate that person. I want to kill that person. I can't stand that person. And so these two people were thinking like that. And that's why they later on they took birth in the same situation in the Hare Krishna movement. Because they were devotees. Then they got married, and they were always fighting. Boom, boom, boom. Not quite so bad. Fighting with their mouths. That doesn't mean they bit each other. You know, talking very loudly to each other. And that's why, because in the last life, one of them killed the other one. The other one died probably old age or something like that. But they were thinking of the enemies in terms of enemies. Like there's a nice story. Let me finish one story. There's this one person in the Mahabharata. It was a lady named Amba. Does anyone know that story?
Yeah.
You know that story. So Amba was very angry. I'm not going to tell the story. She was very the whole story, but she was very angry at who? Grandfather Bhishma. And she took a vow that I am going to kill you, will be the cause of your death. So later on, she appeared as, actually this is a very funny story, she actually appeared as a daughter of this person named Drupada. But later on she was transformed to a man. And then she was the cause of Bhishma's death. Because it was he then. You know, she who became he. You have that a lot now in the world. But in those days, they did it by mystic powers. They didn't use other means. It's the whole story in the Mahabharata. So because Grandfather Bhishma knew that this person, Shikhandi, was actually a girl before, and was actually Amba, the person who wanted to kill him, he didn't fight when Arjuna used him that Shikhandi, who was previously a girl, as a shield, a human shield. He put down his bow and arrows, and Arjuna kept doing what?
Shooting
him and filled him with what?
Arrows.
And Bhishma had a nice bed, right? A bed of arrows. So that's what happens from one lifetime to another. It's whatever you're thinking of at the time of death. That's why it's important to think of Krishna. What happens when you think of Krishna at the time of death? Do you become Krishna?
No, you go with Krishna.
You go with Krishna. What do you get to do with Krishna when you go with Krishna?
Play.
Play all the time. And there's no school. No, you have a nice school, nice teachers. But when I was young, we didn't like our teachers or school. So we had this song. I don't know if I should teach them that song.
No, that's okay. Go for it.
We had this song I used to teach when I was... what we used to sing when I was young. It says, no more teachers, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks. Because we didn't have Krishna conscious teachers. My teachers never chanted. So, what are the questions? Yeah.
I thought if we kill somebody and in the next life the person that you killed will kill you.
Yeah. That's what usually happens, that if we kill someone the next life, they either kill us or make our life so miserable we wish we were dead. Or if one kills an animal, same thing happens, right?
He kills you.
Then the animal gets to kill you in the next life.
A tiger.
A tiger.
An ant.
If you purposely kill an ant, there's this one story about this great sage.
It was picking on ants when it was five.
Yeah. And what happened?
He went to Yamaraj and he cursed him. He was only 5 years old.
Because he got, yeah, then he cursed Yamaraj because he can't. A 5-year-old person is not responsible. But when you get older than 5, you're responsible.
And you only cursed him for,
what was his curse? Well, Yamaraj arranged that the sage, when he was a little... Well, the sage, when he was a little kid, took a little insect or an ant and pierced him with a blade of grass. So when the sage got older, he was meditating one day, and some thieves, robbers, went into his cave. And the police came, and they said, "Where are the robbers?" But he was in meditation. He was going, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He was chanting his japa. And then the police thought he was part of the robbers, part of the gang. And so they arrested him and they said, "You're punished by having a lance," that means a big stick with a sharp point, "put through your body." So the sage had this big, big stick through his body, but he didn't die because he was a yogi. And basically the king later on found out that he was innocent. And they tried to take the stick out of his body, but it wouldn't come out. So they had to break it off at both ends. So he was known as the sage with the stick in his body. Because he had to walk around his whole life like that. And then he went to Yamaraj and he said, "Why did this happen?" Because Yamaraj is in charge of all that stuff, the punishments. And Yamaraj said, "Because when you were young, you pierced a little insect with a blade of grass." And then he cursed Yamaraj. He said, "A young kid should not be responsible, like 5 years old, for what he did. So I'm cursing you to take birth in a Shudra family."
What's a Shudra?
Shudra family means like people who are not very educated, who just work. I don't know if you know what a bungi is.
A bungi? Like basically a homeless or a bum or something?
Yeah, well, no, bungi in India is someone who cleans the sewage or something. But... so it's just like a bum family. So he took birth as Vidura. But his mother was in a low-class family. But his father was who? Does anyone remember who Vidura's father was?
Vidura's
father? Yes. Well, I'm asking the kids. You know everything. So, anyway, so these things happen. Any other questions? Krishna, one thing I wanted to mention is Krishna consciousness should always be fun. You should never be forced to be Krishna conscious. Everything should be done voluntarily from your heart. Don't be forced to be Krishna conscious. Just chant from your heart. You dance for Krishna from your heart. Not because you have to or forced. It shouldn't be like those cowboy movies where someone shoots a gun at your feet and says, "Dance, partner." You ever seen that before? Really? Some of them have seen cowboy movies. That's good. Yeah. You got a question? No. Okay.
Why is it that some people have a strong desire to find God or Krishna, and then others just have no desire?
Good question. Well, basically, because the search for God or self-realization is a multi-life search. In other words, if we really desire Krishna or desire spiritual life, let's take a generic understanding. If we desire spiritual life, that comes from some past spiritual activity. Spiritual activity or spiritual advancement is never lost from one lifetime to another. Whereas material advancement is lost. You can't take your money with you, you can't take your education with you, you can't take your anything with you. But spiritual life you take from one lifetime to another. And the reason one is interested, let's say take the beginning, when one first gets interested in spiritual life. The reason for that is that one becomes materially exhausted. That they've tried just about everything in this world and nothing made them happy. Just like before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I'd explain that we had boats and cars and sports cars. Does anyone here like sports cars? Yeah. So we had something, a sports car called an MG. It's a British sports car. It's like a convertible and I could drive around in it and all sorts of anything I wanted. But guess what? None of those things made me what?
Happy.
I still was thinking this is not the purpose of life. But my mother, she wanted me to do the same thing that everybody else was doing, which was to make
money.
Because people think that money is the
honey.
Money is the honey. And my mother wanted me to be a doctor, because doctors make a lot of money, right? Because whenever they operate on you, you know about this, even if they just take one little thing out of you, they charge $10,000. Very good business. Like, Vishwambhapur was a dentist, right?
Yeah.
And the dentist, what do?
Money.
You guys, this is my father, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. But he's not a dentist anymore. You don't have to worry. They have drills, right? They go... Oh, yes. Isn't it?
Everyone needs a checkup.
So my mother wanted me to be a nice doctor so I could make a lot of money. And I said to my mother, no. And she was very angry. And then when I decided to be a Hare Krishna devotee, she got even angrier. She said, "You are killing me. Now I'm going to die. Because you're not becoming a doctor." But she's still alive today. And she's so strong. She's 85 and she swims 50 laps in a swimming pool every day. So she didn't die. I didn't have to worry about that. So getting back to the point. So when I joined, I became happy because I was able to experience spiritual happiness, whereas the other things never really made me happy. And since I've been a devotee, every day it gets happier and happier, better and better. And if You don't do Krishna consciousness, every day it gets boring. Isn't it boring to do the same thing all the time? Like if I said you have to listen to the same song every day, oh, it's so boring.
It gets old.
It gets old and boring. Or you have to eat the same food every day.
That we don't like.
That you don't like. Let's say, if you, what food don't you like? What is your least favorite food? Nothing.
What don't you like?
Tomatoes. What about beets? Does anyone here like beets?
No.
So if you're not Krishna conscious, it's like eating your least favorite food every single day and being forced to eat it.
Well, then you'll like it.
No. My mother forced me to eat beets.
We're trying to get
into
the
vegetables. Oh, sorry. What's that?
Chew the same piece of food that another cow would just chew the sugar.
Yeah.
And then they come back. It's like chewing the
chew. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another good example. If you, anyone here ever chew gum? Mm-hmm. What happens after you chew it a lot? No taste. And then you just have to spit it out.
And your jaw starts
to hurt. So Krishna consciousness, the happiness, is like having gum that always has sugar on it. The sugar never wears off. All right, we won't talk about vegetables anymore. So, any other quick questions? I think everybody's.
Got school tomorrow.
Got school tomorrow, so they got to get to sleep. We got to take prasad and get to sleep. So, I'm very happy I became a devotee of Krishna. My whole life is just very happy. I'm serving Prabhupada's movement and traveling around the world preaching. I go to different countries like Fiji, India, Europe. What's that recording? It's on there.
Yeah.
And we help build temples. We preach to people. We're building a school at Govardhan. Anyone here has been to Govardhan? Good, good. So we're doing a lot of service for Prabhupada, and then when we leave our bodies, we'll continue serving Prabhupada in the next life. That's the perfection. Okay? So was it prasadam for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.